The second of the eight themes I'd like to talk to you about is that of tradition versus modernity. Now, these are, by the way, the terms that I use. It's the concept that you have to grasp, but you're not going to find necessarily these precise terms in the books. So, tradition versus modernity. Imperialism, which I've already discussed, shows the ugliest side of Western society. Brutality, dictatorship, mass murder, terror, and tremendous exploitation. And therefore, in every colony, imperialism attracted and continues to attract a great deal of opposition. In every colony of every imperialist power in the ancient world or in the modern world, the 19th and 20th century, there have been rebellions against imperialism. Rebellions that typically take the form of a desire for national liberation, for independence, either a return to a pre-imperialist situation or a recognition that you can't simply turn the clock back, that you'll have to create a different society once the imperialists have been driven away. It's this latter impulse, the desire to create a different society, that I want to talk about, because it's by far the most common. Most people recognize that you can't simply turn the clock back. And it's important to realize that anti-imperialists, whether activists or not, want to create a better society than that of the imperialist West. They don't want to simply duplicate England or the United States. Very few outside the elite even claim that this is what they want to do. And the elite, as we'll come to see, are for the most part bought off or co-opted by the imperialists or the neo-imperialists themselves, and really don't want to change the society in a positive way. So for those people who think about this problem and who want to change the society in such a way that after the imperialists have left or are driven out, a better society is the result, the question is this: what to take from the pre-colonial past and what to adopt from the West? It isn't possible to simply turn the clock back and reestablish the pre-colonial past, only for the reason that it was the backwardness, at least in a military and therefore technological sense, of the pre-colonial traditional society that caused it to be conquered and taken over by the imperialists. And therefore, to try to simply turn the clock back, even if it could be done, would be simply to condemn yourselves to being taken over once again. There's no question of, therefore, restoring some pre-colonial status quo. On the other hand, the pre-colonial society is still there as its legacy. So the question becomes what to take from it and what to adopt from the West. Modern technology, of course, is essential. Modern technology is the basis for military strength, and military strength must be gotten, because otherwise, in this rapacious world, in this imperialist world, the imperialists will simply take you over again, as in fact, of course, has happened many times in the past. So modern technology is essential. But the problem is that modern technology doesn't just come as technology. Modern technology comes in a Western package, in a Western cultural dress. The textbooks of science and technology are written in Western languages. So the languages have to be learned. The languages, of course, bring along with them the history and the an orientation towards the imperialist powers themselves. When you study a language, as I'm sure you'll all know from having taken languages in schools, you typically get an introduction, and usually a very, very positive introduction, to the culture of the country or the peoples whose language you're learning. So that the very process of learning the foreign language, the very process of preparing yourself to study the technology, and then the process of learning the technology itself through textbooks and courses and so forth, is a process of westernization. So you're already becoming westernized, you're already becoming indoctrinated or introduced to the culture of the imperialist countries simply by virtue of wanting to adopt technology. Technology is universal in a sense. The same laws of nature apply everywhere. They don't just apply in the West, they apply all over the world and the universe as a whole. So there's a sense in which technology and science is culture neutral. But there's another sense in which it always comes in the language and in the clothed in the concepts of some Western imperialist power. Translation is one answer, but ultimately it's not possible to simply isolate the technology off from the rest of Western culture. In addition to that, traditional culture is still strong. Of course, among the majority of people, there has been very little Westernization in a colonial country. It's mainly the elite who come into contact with the imperialists, who go to their schools, or who learn from them in other respects. The majority of the population continue to live basically traditional lives in terms of their ideas, in terms of the way they think, even though their economic and social existence may be completely transformed and greatly worsened by the advent of imperialism, as we'll see. Their ideas remain the same because they're not subject to the same indoctrination in the same way. In any event, traditional culture is still very strong, so therefore the challenge is to consider what aspects of the traditional culture can be saved and used in this project or plan of building a better society, and what aspects of the traditional culture have to be discarded in building this new, better society that will replace imperialism or colonialism one day. Similarly with Western culture, what aspects of Western culture, in addition perhaps to technology, must be taken over, must be adapted, must be assimilated in order to build the new society of the future and to maintain independence and so forth, and what aspects of Western culture have to be rejected and discarded. Now you'll see a big concern with this in all of the works we're dealing with, starting perhaps most dramatically with Chinua Achebe's novel Things Fall Apart, which is largely a story of the confrontation of these two cultures, and a very subtle and careful critical examination of aspects of both traditional Igbo culture, Igbo being one of the cultures of Nigeria, modern Nigeria, and of Western, in this case British, imperialist culture. So this issue of tradition versus modernity, what of the traditional society should be left out, what of the traditional society should be maintained and preserved and adapted, what of Western culture must be assimilated, what of Western culture should be discarded in order to move ahead and beyond both the pre-colonial past, the horrible colonial present, and the Western society's models, which are clearly have shown themselves to be exploitative and not worth unreservedly imitating. What needs to be preserved? What needs to be discarded? This is a concern in all of these novels and many, many others as well.